Officer Jack McLam program coming to you from the high Rocky Mountains of Idaho County, Idaho, USA. Once again, welcome back on this Saturday. Saturday here in the U.S., and it's a beautiful day in the Rocky Mountains, folks. Hope it's a nice day where you're at in the world today. And we have a guest on with us here today, our two police and military associations up here in the great Rocky Mountains, has known this man for many, many years. He's a good constitutional attorney, and I know that we hammer on a lot of attorneys here on the Officer Jack McLam program, and matter of fact, I have a publication coming out right now, next week, actually, an Aid and Abet Police Military newsletter on constitutional issues, all about how the courts, the judges, psychologically manipulate the minds of jurors to have the jurors come out with decisions that the government agent judge and the prosecutor would like them to decide. And that's a very interesting newsletter, and we've talked about this before numerous times, how jury nullification is like showing a cross to a vampire. When you even bring the subject up in a court today, the judge just shrieks and the prosecutor shrieks and you're about to be held in contempt of court if you mention that word again. So, it's been tough on attorneys here at the Officer Jack McLam program, but I've told you over and over that we know some very fine attorneys in this land who love God and love freedom, and they've spent many years helping us retain our freedoms. And one of those lawyers, and I think probably the best constitutional attorney in the land, according to this old cop, Jack McLam, is Larry Beecraft out of Huntsville, Alabama. I think that's where you're still at. Larry, are you there with us?
I'm here today.
Okay. Huntsville, down in Huntsville. Good. Well, I'll tell you, it's a tough subject we're dealing with today. Because, Larry, as you know, a lot of people across this land have gotten caught up in this sovereignty movement. And there's a lot of things people ought to learn and know about the sovereignty movement and some of the things they're doing to try to keep them out of prison. And I've asked Larry Beecraft to be with us this morning to talk about this issue. We'll be right back after this first break with more. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the Officer Jack McLam program. It's that old retired cop, Jack McLam, and I have one of my best buddies on. He's a man that wins cases all the time, and keeps people like me out of prison. And as a cop, I have to tell you, an old retired cop, that cops have to deal with reality. And you can be 100% right on issues and still find yourself in prison one day. And that's what I love about our brother Larry Beecraft, is because he deals in reality also. And where I have friends right now, matter of fact, just about 3 months ago, another good buddy of mine up here went to prison. Because he filed certain papers and did a few things that the government didn't like, and they put him in prison. And he was in this sovereignty movement. And it's a shame that for, I guess, 15 years now, I've had a lot of good friends and other associates who've gone to prison because they believed so much in what they were studying and what they were researching, that they tried to use these tactics and techniques in the courts of the land and have ended up in prison. So I warn people that you can be 100% right and still find yourself going to prison, because the courts are not interested in what is right today. They're interested in power, and they're interested in control. So I've asked our dear brother, Larry Beecraft, to come on the program today. And Larry, if you would just take the microphone, so to speak, and tell us what you believe we need to know about your foray in this area of sovereignty and the areas in which we are very, very fine people are finding themselves in prison today because of trying to, I guess, Larry, the best thing to say is they're trying to reestablish a constitutional system in this land, and that is admirable. But how can we keep them out of prison today, Larry? Would you just go ahead, brother?
Yeah, Jack, that's a tall question. A lot of it's prompted by, you know, exchange of email that we had earlier this week.
Yeah.
Some people were sending some stuff around the Internet and, you know, pointed out flaws in certain arguments.
Yeah.
You know, I've been associated with the freedom movement for 26 years. And in that span of time, I've seen a lot of arguments kind of come and go. You know, there's good arguments and there's bad arguments. And what you said a minute ago is something that a lot of people need to appreciate and understand. You know, even if you've got a good argument, a good legal argument that is backed up with a lot of authority, you'll find often that the argument gets rejected. And, you know, if you've got the laying on the line, you know, a lot at stake, you know, financial, your job or even your liberty, then, you know, pursuing a certain issue in court with a lot at stake can be very detrimental to the party that's advocating a certain position. Let me give you, you know, in preparation for this radio interview, what I did is I kind of wrote down a bunch of arguments, legal arguments that I've encountered over time, and I'd like to just kind of explain some of them and hope that the audience can learn from the elucidation, this discussion that we have about bad arguments, you know, why they've got to be thoroughly investigated and researched before somebody advocates them.
Okay.
Your observation about what's going on in the courts today is, in my view, very accurate. There's a, in the cases that I'm involved with, it seems like the courts are looking more at the results that would happen if they render a certain type of decision rather than just simply following the law and let the decision fall out as a result of, you know, what the law is.
Yeah.
No doubt that what's going on in this country is the building of a power structure. And but I before I get into an explanation of these specific issues, I'd like to make a comment about power. You know, one of the things that's happening with this current administration of George W. Bush is that he is building power together, consolidating power in fewer hands. Would you agree with that observation?
I believe that's absolutely right, yes.
And, you know, the power in and of itself, you know, over time, you know, just the federal government itself has been, you know, exerting its influence in more and more areas and exerting its control, and the purpose of this is to acquire power. But, you know, power in and of itself, you know, I think that if you had one individual in control of absolute power, you know, power brings with it a detriment to the party that's holding the power. You know, it's very fickle. You know, I don't think one man, there's no human being alive that could hold power, absolute power, over the rest of the world.
Yeah.
If you take a look at what the Bush administration has done in consolidating power, you know, when you have that much control, it can backfire on you. And right now, you know, this war in Iraq and the gas problems and everything else, you know, they've been consolidating over this 5 and 6 years that he's been in power. They've been consolidating more and more power. Well, you know, you got people on the outside that, you know, as decisions get centralized and power gets centralized, you know, there's people on the outside that are going to be taking pot shots at those that possess power. And here Bush has been consolidating his power. And we're looking where his popularity is right now. It's down there, I heard this morning when I was watching the news, it's down at about 33%. So, you know, those that might want power, you know, it comes with a tremendous cost, and it can completely ruin whoever possesses that power. But power is one of the things that a lot of the people in this country are fighting. You know, they look around, see, you know, they're students of the Constitution. They see what's going on in this country. And, you know, they're personally affected by, you know, the aggregation of power in fewer and fewer hands. You know, if we get down to gas rationing, you know, that's going to be a control over individual travel. And
truly,
it's going to be detrimental to a lot of people. But whoever controls rationing has power over individual people. You know, we got a lot of the, you know, we got the Federal Reserve System. You know, we got the tax system. You know, all of those are systems of power.
Yeah.
And as they get controlled and put into fewer and fewer hands, you know, the more and more people are going to be damaged by it. And as a result of the damage, damaged people kind of like to strike out. You know, they like to fight. And so, you know, I see as power gets aggregated in this country, there are going to be more and more people that are going to be complaining about the situation. And that indeed is what
We certainly hope that the people will start to stand up and question what's going on.
Well, yeah, they've been doing it for years, and it seems like Jack, it seems like you've probably got as much time in this movement as I have. You know, I started, I encountered this movement about 1979. Well, that's about the time that you were.
I was studying when I became a cop in 1976. I was studying things. I'd read the book, The Naked Capitalist, I think, wasn't that it, or Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen.
Yeah.
I started finding books that would lead me to other books and start studying, but I've been in the fight physically out there on the line about 25 years now. And we got started pretty much the same time, brother.
Well, then we've probably seen a lot of the same things. However, there's a new crop of people that have come into the movement.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, they have less experience, and they know less. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the problems in the country. You know, somebody gets hit with a particular personal problem, and then they go looking for the answers. And then there's a lot of people out there that might know a little bit more than, you know, the party that's looking for an answer. And so they start providing some type of a tool to address their problem. And I've seen the tools that have been passed out to a lot of people in this country that have damaged the people that have used the tools. Let me give you an example. Do you remember the tractor cage to Washington, D.C. in the late 70s?
I sure do, yeah.
That was Gene Schroeder and the American Agricultural Movement.
Right.
You know, Gene Schroeder and his dad started out with that, started that movement, basically. They saw what faced agriculture,
uh-huh,
a small farmer in America. And so one day they just put a sign up along the side of their farm on the road and said, this farm is on strike.
Yeah.
And that idea kind of spread. And soon, you know, within a short period of time, you had the tractor cage going to Washington, D.C. The farmers were fed up.
Yeah,
and
true.
So what were they responding to? They were responding to the controls that were slowly being imposed upon them. You know, slowly but surely the bureaucracy was trying to shackle them,
mm-hmm,
and decrease their liberties and decrease their freedoms. Gene made one comment to me that I thought was very important when he went to Washington, D.C., and he related to what he learned during that trip. He made this one comment that, you know, they were talking to some Department of Ag people, and he learned that there was an actual federal program in effect, that what they were going to do is they were going to reduce the number of farmers in America.
Yeah.
And so here you have a system where, you know, a plan implemented by the federal government for whatever reason, you know, that maybe there are reasons behind it. But, you know, there was a war being declared by the federal government on the American farmer.
That's right. You remember when Henry Kissinger made that statement, to control nations, you control oil, to control people, you must control the food?
Yeah.
About that same time, these guys got involved because they were beginning to see that the plans the government had to help the farmers were actually destroying the family farm.
Absolutely.
They became very suspicious of that. Okay, folks, stay tuned. I hear the music there. Larry, we'll be back with you in just a minute. Folks, you might want to get out your papers and pencils for sure, because we're going to give out some information you might need to have. like phone numbers and emails and websites and things like that. We'll be right back with Larry in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the Author Jack McLam program. We have attorney Larry Beecraft on with us, and he's one of my heroes. He truly is, because here at our two police and military associations, we like to see our brothers and sisters involved in the freedom movement win their cases and not go to prison. And I don't think there's an attorney out there that we've known over these years that's won more cases for patriots than Larry Beecraft. We know a fantastic case called the Cheeks case that he won here. I don't know how many years ago that was, probably 10 years ago now, Larry. And then the airline pilot, Vernie Krugland case, and then so many others. There was one case you won down in Alabama with 17 defendants there, Larry.
Yeah, that I remember. That was in Memphis, Jack.
Or in Memphis, yeah. It was. Okay. But that's what I say, folks, that there's so many of our friends going to prison. We had, as Larry knows, about 7 years ago, Right Way Law moved in here and started exciting our patriotic Americans, good patriotic Americans here, about learning about the law. They started attending these law classes, and I knew where they were going. And at some time, the Right Way Law proponents, the teachers, were going to tell them to file certain papers and to commit certain acts that were criminal. And I held a meeting right away, and about 50, 60 people came to that meeting, Larry. And I called a meeting, and I told them, I said, listen, studying the law is admirable. You study the law all you want to, but if you get to the point where you're asked to do things that in your heart you know are not right, such as going in and buying a four-wheeler or a tractor or a truck and not giving anything of substance to where people can get their money, these small businesses can get their money, so you're just actually ripping off the small businesses, I said, you're going to go to prison. You're going to go to jail. And I said, so when Right Way Law gets to that point, do not do it. Now, you can go study the law, and you can spend your time researching and listening to these people, but when they try to get you to file these different forms and to buy property without paying for it properly, where the owners of the businesses can get their money, do not do it. Well, about a handful of them, Larry, listened and did not do that, but the others did, and we've had a number of them go to prison up here, and one good friend just recently, he himself just went to prison for that. And it just breaks my heart, Larry, that we're trying to do right. We want to do right. We mean to do right, and yet we're putting ourselves and our families in extreme jeopardy today. Go ahead and pick up where you left off, Larry.
Well, you're so right about that, Jack. But can I make one comment, you know, before we get back on that topic? You know, we're talking about these systems that are being instituted by the government that the people are reacting to.
And
when they react to them, they need the proper tools rather than something that's going to be they got the shotgun aimed in the wrong direction. You know, they got the barrel aimed at their chest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I see a lot of that. Good
way to put it.
Here recently, it seems like it was about 6 months ago. This is just kind of an aside relating to the agricultural movement and what the farmers are facing. About 6 months ago, there was a story. You know, it kind of cropped up in Alabama news, and it went on to nationwide news. That there was a cow here on some farm in Alabama that had mad cow disease.
Oh, brother.
And, you know, then the farmers started looking around and, well, where is this farm?
Yeah.
And, you know, to make a long story short, nobody has ever been able to determine anything about that cow with the mad cow disease. Right now, the conclusion is it was a planted story. Now, why was it planted? Well, Alabama is now the first state in the nation to go along with this program being offered by the federal government to RFID animals.
Uh-huh. Chip every animal.
Yep. And a friend of mine, you know, that's marking the beast.
Yeah, and it's also control of all the food source.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And all these things they're chipping happen to be things that we use for food. Yeah.
Well, it's now appearing, you know, I'm convinced personally that the story of the mad cow was planted in the media, and the purpose of it was to scare the Alabama legislature in adopting this new bill. And it after that story broke, that legislation slid right on through the legislature.
True. Yeah.
And it's going to be implemented here in Alabama, and they're trying to say, "Oh, we've done a good thing." You know, Alabama's the first in the nation to do this.
That's terrible. Well, they're doing the same thing with the bird flu, brother.
Absolutely.
You know, same thing with the bird flu. I've had several top scientists on my program. One is Dr. Lenny Horowitz up here in Sandpoint, Idaho, that says that all of these things are being created at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Military bio lab there to scare the people into control, having the government control them from the cradle to the grave.
Wow.
Well, we'll be back in just a minute, folks. We're coming up on the next break, and I want to open the phone lines up here in a little while, folks, so stay tuned for that, not right this minute, but then we'll open the phone lines up, and if you have questions, you can certainly call in and ask those questions to our dear brother, attorney Larry Beecraft. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Okay, folks, you're back on the Officer Jack McLam program. We're going to go right back to our attorney. Brother Larry Beecraft, having trouble with the name here. I've watched in amazement, folks, over these 25 years I've been involved, as some of the best people in America have gone to prison because they meant to do well. And I've also watched in amazement and praised the Lord each time our dear brother Larry Beecraft saves a life of somebody we care about and they don't go to prison, you know, even though they've made some errors and they made some pretty stupid mistakes and in judgment and so forth. This is the guy that I would call and have sent people to over the years when they're in trouble. So let's go right back to Larry. Larry, go right ahead and continue on where you left off, brother.
Well, let's talk about some of the flaws. Since we're talking about these problems of the freedom movement, let's go back to 20 years ago, 21 years ago.
Okay.
You know, we started off this program talking about the problems that were facing the farmers back in the late 70s and the early 80s.
True.
Well, there was a lady by the name of Carol Landy that offered a solution for the farmers. Her ideas were published in a farmer's magazine. I won't mention the name. But Carol Landy got a lot of, you know, she was running around with these amazing stories dealing with the land patent.
Oh, land patent.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know whether you remember that or not.
I remember land patents, yes. Uh-huh.
You know, in real property law, you know, particularly out west, you know, even here in Alabama, you know, the federal government came along and acquired title to the all this land outside the original 13 colonies.
Yeah.
And the actual deed from the federal government to the first purchaser of the land had a specific name. It was simply called a land patent. And, you know, it was a deed. You know, that's the name for one of the deeds. But then when the federal government, let's take the Oklahoma land rush. You know, in 1849, all these farmers go out there and they rush for the land in Oklahoma.
Right.
Well, they had to comply that all that land was owned by the federal government, acquired by treaty. And to become the ultimate owner of the land, you had to pay a certain price and you had to occupy the land. And when a farmer in 1849 rushed out at the Oklahoma land rush and settled on a piece of land and started proving it over and paid the purchase price over a period of years, the deed that he would get from the government to him was the land patent. However, once that deed was executed, you know, then the land fell within the jurisdiction of the state. So, like, for example, Alabama was admitted in the Union in 1819, a lot of the land at the time was still owned by the federal government. So the deed to a settler here in Alabama or in Oklahoma would be by this first deed called the land patent.
Uh-huh.
Well, Carol Landy, what she did as a solution for the farmers is she said, you know, get the land patent for your piece of property and bring it up in your name. And She made the argument that by simply bringing a deed up into your own name, that land patent, and claiming the rights of the land patent, it would defeat a mortgage. Well, you know, the whole argument was, violated every blooming principle of law you could imagine.
Yeah.
First, her argument was built upon repealed federal laws that related to land patents. That was her first flaw. Then her second flaw was this presumption that, you know, after a land patent, say like in 1820, a land patent was issued to for Blackacre to party John Jones. At that point in time, the law that related to that piece of land flowed out of the federal government and became a matter to govern by state law. Well, you know, Carol Landy didn't take that into consideration. You know, that's a big legal principle that she violated. But further, you know, she made this argument that, you know, by bringing the land patent up into your own name, you could defeat mortgages. Well, you know, if you've executed a mortgage, what you have done is you have given a conditional piece of your property to the mortgage company. That's contract.
That's a contract, right?
You can't simply just bring the land patent up into your own name and suddenly defeat a mortgage, especially one that you've given.
Well,
but nonetheless, you know,
brother, a Christian shouldn't even do that.
Well,
because
you know, that's,
once you give your solemn oath, then you form a contract, which is a right given to us by God, and it's protected under the Constitution. I don't see the justification in going back on your word, brother. It makes me feel very uneasy. What do you think?
So true. But Carol, you know, she was able to hobble together an argument that had a lot of attractive appeal to a lot of desperate people. And so people would go out and do what she said.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got into trouble. Now, Carol personally ended up in jail. According to her, you know, she could go out and bring land patents up into her own name. And so she started, quote, pursuing her legal theory, unquote. Personally, and so she started land patenting a lot of large tracts of land, you know, valuable pieces of land, and ultimately she was indicted and convicted for disparaging the title of others, because she would, you know, let's say in downtown Los Angeles, she lived in San Francisco or that area.
Sure.
But let's say that, you know, you wanted to the library tower. Bring the land patent up for the library tower and put it in your name.
Right.
Well, you know, that would disparage the title of the owners of the library title.
Yeah.
And she went to jail for all of this.
Well, that's right. You know, it's so easy to cloud a title. Just somebody filing something like that, brother, can cloud a person's title to where you can't even sell that property. So it's not hard to do. And I can understand a lot of people being upset with her about that.
Well, she did that, and there were a lot of people that followed her advice, and they ended up in jail.
Yeah.
You know, on another point, speaking of Los Angeles, a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, there was a fellow that was, you know, one of these right-way law followers. He was pursuing the redemption process. And I got into, you know, his name was Diogenes. You know, I ran across him on the Internet, and there was an argument we got into.
Well,
ultimately, you know, that just happened to be a couple of days before I was going to Los Angeles. So I said, you know, let's meet when we get there. So we did meet. And he seemed to be a likable fella. He was teaching the redemption process in some course for patriots there.
Tell the listeners what that is, brother, because most of them probably don't know what the redemption process is.
Well, you know, depending upon the party that's teaching the program, it, you know, it has varying aspects. But one common thread through all of this is that, you know, supposedly back in by means of the Social Security Act, the government by means of the Social Security Act was paying something like $600,000, but you know the number always varies depending upon the advocate.
Yeah.
The government was creating this T account for everybody that was born in America, and there was a public side and a private side to this T account, and your birth certificate would be obtained by the government for $600,000. And I can remember, you know, when this argument was real hot, you know, people would say, hey, I've gone and ordered my birth certificate, and, you know, and I looked at the back of it, and, you know, it's been bought and sold by 10 international banks.
Wow,
you know, crazy. But in any event, you know, this leads to the argument, you know, the statement that this is all predicated on the Social Security Act of 1935, you know, that this $600,000 figure is found in that act. Well, you can get on the Internet and you can pull up and read the original 1935 Social Security Act.
Yeah.
None of that is in it. This issue of spending $600,000 to buy a birth certificate, it isn't there.
In other words, they're saying they're buying that person.
Yes.
And their production over the years, that's probably what you're talking about, the value of production of that person. Is that what you're talking about?
That's the theory.
The theory, right.
And, you know, so so by acquiring, you know, a birth certificate is not a negotiable instrument. A birth certificate is merely a certificate.
Yeah.
A public certificate is just a document that records a fact.
An event or something.
Yes. And a birth certificate merely records the fact of your place of birth. Now, I think it's real important for people to be able to prove that they're citizens. And,
sure.
You know, the birth certificate does exactly that. It proves that you're a citizen. But nonetheless, you know, this theory about the birth certificates and it being so, you know, it's a negotiable instrument, which it is not. You know, there's nothing in a birth certificate that says there's a promise to pay so much money.
True.
So it doesn't qualify as a negotiable instrument or a promissory note. But nonetheless, it was promoted as being a promissory note. So if you were in trouble with the federal government, what you needed to do was, you know, the birth certificate represented a straw man, a name in caps. And what you had to do was use the Uniform Commercial Code to recapture your straw man. And once you recaptured your straw man, you could go out and start issuing all these negotiable instruments. Now, let me stop right here and flip over to the boys from Tigerton, Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, the money issue was real hot back in the early 80s. Tupper Saucy, a friend of mine, you know, was advocating, you know, gold and silver coin. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 of the United States Constitution. No state shall make anything other than gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because Tupper kind of popularized, you know, the money issue, there was a lot of people that once they got interested in it started thinking about things that they could do. And Conrad LeBeau from Wisconsin came along in the early 80s and, you know, said, gee, you know, let's issue these negotiable instruments. Well, you know, Conrad didn't do any harm. But, you know, soon others got an idea in their head, hey, look, you know, let's compete against the banking system. Let's issue our own promissory notes and circulate them as money.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the guys from Tigerton, Wisconsin, really were into this issue. And so they, you know, started issuing all these drafts everywhere.
Yeah.
And there was one fella that down in, I remember talking to him on the phone. He would take these drafts that he got from the boys in Tigerton, Wisconsin. This fellow was from the Dallas area. And he would go around to, you know, auctions and buy with these drafts cars, land, everything else. He even went into the business buying homes.
It looked like they were good. The paperwork looked like it was good, and people fell for it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, in any event, you know, after talking to this fellow one time, you know, I said, hey, look, man, you don't need to do this. You know, go out and issue these drafts and injure people. Ultimately, he was indicted.
Uh-huh.
And he was
fine.
Yeah, you know, passing out these certificates.
Uh-huh.
But then again, you know, giving that as a kind of a background and flipping back over to Diogenes, this fellow from Los Angeles that I met about 2000 or 2001.
Yeah,
you know, he was promoting this argument that you could go out and crank out your own drafts and buy things with it. And then he, when the skepticism was raised about the bona fides of this program, he said, "I will show people that it can be done." So he went out and bought with one of these drafts a new car.
Yeah,
and I must report that Diogenes, this fellow by the name of Ron, is now in jail.
Yeah.
Serving 8 years for fraud for buying attempting to buy a car with one of these drafts.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we've had Carol Landy comes along and she makes the land patent argument using old, outdated law that violates a whole lot of legal principles. Then we've had, you know, things like the Tigerton boys that have advocated these drafts. And, you know, there's a lot of people who got into
it. Yeah, Larry, that reminds me of the Montana Freeman. You know, they were doing the same thing, and they were surrounded by the FBI, and Colonel Bowe and I went up there, and a number of other people helped negotiate for the FBI. We were in with them for 4.5 days in their Montana Freeman home site there, and while they were surrounded. And my goodness gracious, it was all fascinating as they tried to tell us what they were doing. But it still comes down to gaining something from someone else, taking something from someone else, and not paying for it.
Yeah,
is what I've seen, and that is not that isn't moral, and certainly it isn't Christian.
Well, you know, Jack, let me tell you what I know about that particular situation.
Yeah,
you know, there was one of these fellows. There was a there was a part of that group that. Somehow, some way, and I think it's something he paid into a court, federal court, with a regular check,
uh-huh.
and was due, you know, a small amount of a refund for an overpayment. And there was this judge that these guys in the Montana Freeman camp called. He was a judge. They called him Panama Jack. You know, I don't know who Panama Jack is, but in any event, from there they supposedly opened up a bank account in some fashion, you know, based upon this refund check from a federal court. And then they came up with this wild idea that, you know, based on that, you know, they could, you know, take somebody's instrument and, quote, deposit in that bank, and then they would write these drafts off these deposits, and, of course, they'd make them payable by the United States Treasury. And I can remember back in those days, you know, I would, you know, people were running up there to Montana to get these drafts, and you know, I saw some, you know, people got holding here in their hands a draft for $8 million or $10 million.
Yeah,
and you know what? If you read the decision in the prosecution of the Montana Freeman, you know, there was some fellow that was one of the defendants in this case, and I got this case posted over on my website.
Uh-huh.
You know, this fellow from North Carolina, I believe, got one of these drafts, deposited it into his bank account, and then started running around buying up cars.
Yeah.
And he brought them to the Freeman up there in Montana, and I think they were either selling the cars or either using the cars. But in any event, you know, there was, you know, this was credit created outside the credit system. It would not result in any type of payment to, you know, the people that ultimately ended up with these drafts. And
yes,
of course,
the owners, business owners.
Yeah.
But, you know, they wouldn't get paid. Yeah.
The fact that there were cars that were bought, but ultimately were not paid by these drafts, but were ultimately delivered to the Montana Freeman, you know, that's a prominent feature in the appellate decision regarding the Montana Freeman.
Yes, and it's sad, brother, because those 4.5 days we were in there with the men, women, and children, you couldn't find a nicer group of Americans. I mean, they just had been brainwashed into believing these things. Same thing with our friends up here that went through a year or more of Right Way Law. They were literally brainwashed over all this time of these weekly meetings to finally doing something that I don't believe they'd have done, brother, if they hadn't been brainwashed, because
yeah.
they were too high moral people. And but it took months and months and months to get to where they believed that they were doing something patriotic by taking property.
Yeah.
Be right back.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Well, fascinating, Brother Larry. Fascinating to hear from a warrior out there in reality land in the courtrooms of America and how you see these things. We all have a tendency in our frustration with government becoming more and more corrupt and more taking more and more control over our lives to want to fight back, and we are all looking for answers. And it's sad that some of the things we go to for an answer is not reality. So please continue on there, Larry, would you?
Let me tell you the story about Desert Al.
Desert Al
is a trucker.
Right.
And he is now serving time for murder.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
How did this come about?
I've known Desert Al for a number of years, and I didn't know this, that he's in prison.
Do you know him?
Oh, I knew him 15 years ago. He started contacting Aid and Abet Police Military Newsletter, and he was trucking at that time. And
we've been talking about the same guy.
I lost track with him, yeah. So he's
the reason you've lost track of him is because he fell in with one of these arguments, Jack. I can't believe this. I mean, just on the break, I said, hey, let's talk about Desert Al.
Yeah.
So you know him as a real guy.
Oh, yeah, a real guy. Yeah, he supported and handed out aid and abets from his truck to police officers and everybody he could for years.
Well, let me tell you, I was sent a package of material about Desert Al. This happened up, I think, in Kentucky, maybe Ohio. But let me tell you the story.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like, sometime in the past, I can't remember the years it got started. But, you know, I know in about 93, there was a UCC argument started by the right-wing law fellows. But then following along behind that was this argument about, you know, we're still really controlled by the Brits. You know, we are still Brits. Well, what's some of the legal basis for this argument?
Yeah.
Well, you know, supposedly, you know, the history shows that what we've learned from our history books is that during the Revolutionary War, we borrowed money from the French. Well, in fact, we did.
That's true.
I've got posted over on my website the pages from the statutes at large, you know, that relate to this treaty that we negotiated with the French to borrow this money. Well, some people came up with the idea. This is the 1782 treaty. Well, you know, it was really a loan from the French. Now, when you read through the loan agreement, you can plainly see that it was signed by Frenchmen on behalf of the French government, the French king. And the payment was to be paid in French money. Well, you know, some people concocted the story that really that wasn't a French treaty, but it was really an English treaty.
Yeah.
You know, so people who don't read the treaty, you know, they will take the word of somebody. No, this was King George loaning us the money to fight him. From there you spin this tale about how we really didn't win the Revolutionary War and we didn't really become Americans. We were still legally attached to Great Britain.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, that argument, and that's just the gist of the argument. You know, I can see, you know, I've read some of this stuff, so that people without a firm foundation in history or even actually having the ability to actually look at the documents that are being talked about in these, you know, legal tracts that float around the freedom movement, you know, I can see how somebody could come along and read that and, wow, walk away with the idea, oh, gee, golly, we really are Brits. Well, Desert Al ran across some lady that was having some problems with
her
sister.
Okay, hold on there. I don't want to miss a bit of this, Larry. Folks, we're at the top of the hour. We're coming into the second hour, and I promise you we will open the phone lines up, but I want to hear about Desert Al. Our buddy is in prison now. So we'll be right back with Larry B. Craft, a famous hero attorney of us here at our two police and military associations. We'll be right back.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.